You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do you have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this, your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, you have a handout. Far be it for me to teach without a handout. But it was amazing. I got it this morning about 5:30. I started working on the handout. And it ballooned to like 10, 12 pages. I said, you cannot hand out something that has 10 or 12 pages. So I cut it back to 2 pages, which is a short version. But for me, I have the 8-page version. So needless to say, I'm excited about the topic, so let's get started. Father God, we pause now to study your word and praise your name. We thank you for the scriptures that are completed and that were given to us, that we might study and get to know you better. We thank you for the rules internal of scripture, for handling the word of God accurately and rightly dividing. We feel like that's what you've called us to do here, to promote right division and the calling of the mystery, which was announced through Paul the Apostle in Ephesians. But we know that all scripture is proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that we might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works that you called us to do. So we thank you for that. We thank you for this time to get set aside and not be interrupted to study your word and get to know you better. So we pray for the lesson to follow. Hopefully, any errors, please strike it out. But that which is true, have it burned in our heart so we might be a witness to the truth. So we pray in Christ's name, is for his sake. Amen. Now, the last time I spoke, I was speaking about the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. I said it's important to a student of Scripture to realize who they are. Are they Jewish? Are they Gentile? As we have often taught here, we are Gentiles. Now, when I speak to fellow Christians about Scripture, I'm often amazed at how the division between Jew and Gentile is blurred. And often, the scriptures in the Gospels are quoted as motivation for proper behavior. And I thought, well, looking at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have, obviously, the focus is Christ Jesus. Jesus came and fulfilled his mission and was crucified and resurrected. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, he ascended to the heavenlies, and he will come again. But if you look at the scriptures, you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, this is the beginning of the New Testament. Now, typically, those who feel like the New Testament is for today's Christian, the Old Testament was for yesterday's Christian or yesterday's believer. Old Testament is old news, and New Testament is new news. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, we'll see how Gentile this thing is. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Well, as you know, who was the first Jew? Abraham. The very first verse in the very first book of the New Testament goes right back to Abraham. What gives? Well, what gives is there's no change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Israel in the Old Testament is still kicking when the New Testament's open, and they're in Rome trying to get along with the Romans, but still maintaining their Jewish faith. Now, as Jesus came into the world, this genealogy goes down to verse, I think all the way down to verse 17. It says, Matthew 1:17 says, "Oh, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon, 14 generations, and from carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." So they took time to point out that the time frame from Abraham to Christ had certain synergy to it. We went from Christ to David. From Abraham to Christ to Babylon and to Jesus. So, if we go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and this is on your handout. When Jesus was born, when he started gathering individuals to be part of his team, it says in Matthew 4, verse 18, "Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from hence, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee with their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now, Jesus must have been a pretty impressive individual, because when he called them, they were right in the middle of what their vocation was doing. Now, if I was in my office and somebody came in the office and said, "Hey, follow me," I said, "Well, you follow you where? You know, maybe to the door, I'll show you out." But they don't really go into detail about this interaction, except the Lord called them and immediately they followed him. Matthew 10, verse 2 and 4 says, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebicus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." Now, Mark chapter 3, verse 14, "And he ordained the 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." So, Jesus got his team together, these 12 apostles. "And he gave them," verse 15, "power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he named Boanerges, which is the son of thunder." That's a very interesting name. Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. I wonder who thunder was. "But Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, they went into an house." So not only did the Lord call these 12 apostles, you noticed in verse 15, he gave them power to heal sickness and cast out devils. So there's a certain amount of authority that went with this christening of these apostles. So if you look, I've summarized the 12 apostles down below. Simon Peter, which is arguably the most involved of the apostles. And we'll look at some things that have been derived out of his involvement. Now, the Apostle Paul was not one of the 12. That's a common question in my class with the kids. I said, Okay, was the Apostle Paul one of the 12 apostles? Immediately, early on, they would go, yeah, no. They know it's a trick question. But Paul said he was an apostle to the Gentiles. In verse Romans 11, 13 and 14 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them that which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Now, that verse 14 of Paul, what was he talking about? Emulation them which are my flesh? Paul was Jewish. Paul was a Pharisee. The role of the Gentiles is a very important one because they were brought in. And Derek is taking us through the Roman study, and we have seen the issues regarding Gentiles who were brought in and the impact on the Jewish faith, because the Jews are always at the front of the line. And all of a sudden, somebody's coming along, hey, these Gentiles can come up to the front line with you. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, that doesn't fly, because we're the chosen people. Gentiles are dogs. Well, Paul was chosen to bring forth that ministry. But we're looking at the 12 apostles. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but the 12 apostles, as we've seen in Scripture, have been called to the Jews. They were inspired to go out to the Jews and not to go to the Gentiles. And we'll see that. And let's go to Matthew chapter 10. I think that was today's scripture reading. Verse 1. So the Lord said, when he called on him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, if I had that power today, I would be pretty popular. I mean, Here's Bill. Oh, by the way, if you have any sickness or palsies or any sickness, just go check him out and he'll take care of it. Are you kidding me? If I had that power today, I would simply go to the hospitals and put it to good use. People who claim to have that power today, they don't. If they did, they would be in the hospitals. Children's hospitals, cancer hospitals. Our hospitals are full of sick people. They would be able to go in and heal them. Why must not have the power? Well, there's a reason for that. Well, let's look at Matthew 10, verse 2. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew's brother, James, son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebicus, whose also name is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who always betrayed him. These, verse 5, Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not only that, when ye go, preach unto them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, not only did they have the power to heal the sick, they can raise the dead. Now, these guys are fishermen. And now they've given this authority from Jesus to go out with these powers, raise the dead, and preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You can't take that lightly. He specifically said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Most people blend those two together. They don't realize they're separated by classes. I was speaking to one of the individuals at Christian Heritage Academy, and it was clear to me that he didn't believe that the Jewish nation was a nation when the New Testament started, because they had been scattered. So I didn't take the opportunity to debate with them, but I felt that if you clearly see the first verse, it takes you back to Abraham. And in the instructions to the apostles, the Lord obviously recognizes Israel as a group, because he said, don't go to the other group, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mark chapter 3, verse 6. Let's start reading there. It says, the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So the Pharisees weren't too fond of Jesus, because he was speaking with authority and he was healing people. And obviously they didn't have that power or authority, so they were not as popular as Jesus was. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jerusalem, Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard that great things he had did, came unto him. So there's a whole bunch of people. He was coming from all over the area, and they were coming to him. So he spoke to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch as they had pressed him upon for to touch him, as many had plagues. So we had a wave of sick people wanting just to touch Jesus to be healed. And they were pressing on him so hard that he was about to be pushed into the water. So he got in a boat, and he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Verse 10, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain, and called unto him with whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained the 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and have the power to heal sickness and cast out devils. So these 12, Lord called them, ordained them, and gave them the power to heal sickness and cast out devils. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 now. We'll start at verse 23. There it says, and when Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, on all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him unto him all sick people that were taken with various diseases and torments, those that which should were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatics, and there that had the palsy, and he healed all of them. And there followed him a great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now if you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he sat, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, what were some of the promises given to Abraham and his descendants back in the Old Testament? Was it some promises about land? Was it a blessed land flowing with milk and honey? Yes. The Jews were promised certain parcels of land, and their promises were to inherit the earth. If you took a side path here, when we jump way forward into the books of the mystery, the Gentiles now have received blessings in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers. Those who don't recognize the difference between the callings try to steal from Israel, try to rob their blessings as their own. At the end of Acts, when God put Israel on hold, when he revealed the mystery through the Apostle Paul, he then therefore declared the blessings that are given to the Gentiles completely apart from Abraham and his promises. It's the blessings that we receive are far superior than what was given to Israel. Now, why was the mystery hushed up? Why is it kept a secret? Because so many great things have been revealed in the mystery. Why didn't he reveal those earlier? Because if he had, Israel would have had an excuse to reject Jesus as Messiah. So there was no excuse. Israel was presented to God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son in the Gospels, God the Spirit in the Acts period, and three strikes they are out. And their status was put on hold until Elijah comes back and restores all things, and the timetable for God's promises to Israel will pick up again, and therefore the promises like the kingdom of heaven, inherit the earth, will come into play. We'll take a look at the picture here in a minute. Now, back to our scripture. Verse 17. The Lord said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle shall not in ways pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever thou shalt break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, the kingdom of heaven must be an interesting study, because there are many kingdoms mentioned in Scripture. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. What I like is kingdom of his dear son, because later in the mystery books, Paul talks about the kingdom of his dear son is what we're a part of, which is different than the kingdom of heaven. So, go to Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at verse 1. Now, these disciples are called by Jesus. They're ordained by Jesus. They're given special powers by Jesus. They've been told not to go to the Gentiles, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. "Take heed that you do not alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. For verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth secret in himself, reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may see of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in the closet. When thou shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard of their much speaking. But be there not therefore like them, but for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him." After this matter, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Does that sound familiar? This prayer has been taken out of context and is used everywhere. I've said it in a football team locker room. I've seen people say it in all circumstances, and they call it the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord told the disciples to pray this way, and the disciples were strictly given to the Jews. Their calling was to go to the Jews. So the instructions to pray this way was to the disciples, and they were Jewish. Notice in the prayer, thy kingdom come. If you're a Christian today, this warning about the when thou prayest, verse 6, enter into thy closet, shut the door, pray secretly, and the Lord will reward your prayer openly. I've seen this prayer spoken in a very public context. Okay, if I'm in a locker room before a game and they say, let's say the Lord's Prayer, are we in the closet? It just doesn't apply. It's tradition. And as you saw in the scripture earlier, the Lord was calling the those that pray hypocrites because they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets that they may be seen of men. So those who typically say this prayer are in a very public situation. So what's their motivation? To be seen of men? Oh, they're saying the Lord's Prayer. Yay. The true Lord's Prayer was when he was in Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, I won't go down rabbit trail. Anyways, Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, and he said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he charged his disciples that he should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, this is a famous passage about Peter giving the right answer, saying that you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail it. Now, we sang a hymn this morning. What was the first hymn we sang? Rock of Ages. Was that song about Peter? You're kidding. Most people say, Peter's the rock that they built the church on. I'll tell you who says that. The Catholic Church. Well, Rock of Ages. Greater that hath no foundation laid than Peter? No. Okay, we read I think, the Father's Day lesson. Derek took it through scriptures, talking about building a house upon Peter. No, upon the rock. And when the storms come, that house is still standing. But if they build it on sand, when the storm comes, it gets blown away. So that is another rabbit trail to go down. The rock is Christ, not Peter. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-4 talks about the spiritual rock. It says there, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Well, who are those fathers? Well, that was Moses. Passed through the sea when he brought Israel out of Egypt. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did eat of the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. He is a rock. So let's go to Matthew 28. Look at verse 16. Now, all the scripture we looked up to this point is during the early part of the Gospels, when Jesus was active in his ministry. Now we're looking at the latter part of the Gospels, time frame wise, when either Christ is being ready to be captured and crucified, and post crucifixion resurrection, the instructions given to the disciples about what they should do. So Matthew 28:16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee." Okay, why 11? Weren't there 12? Well, remember, there was Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. And when he did, the disciples were down back to 11. And not until after the Gospels closed in the book of Acts, they appointed a replacement for Iscariot, Judas Iscariot. So the 11 disciples went and they went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came unto them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So, 11 disciples. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 14 through 20. "After he appeared unto the 11, as they sat and ate meat, and braided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed them not which them had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized, and he shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then all the Lord had spoken to them, he received them to heaven, and sat on the right hand of God." Mark 16. I'm sorry, I was reading Mark chapter 16, verse 14 to 20. Now, there's a common rule. If I say Matthew, it wasn't what I said Matthew, you just heard it wrong. Mark 16, 14 through 20. Verse 20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen." Now, back in this time frame, the only scriptures they had were in the synagogue. They didn't have the written word. They wouldn't give them to them yet. They had to rely on the chief priests and scribes in Israel to teach them in the synagogues. So imagine these 11 going out and preaching the word and confirming the word, meaning I have the authority to preach this because look at this power I've been given. And that was one of the predominant things for those signs and wonders, was to confirm the word. So go to Luke chapter 24. That's Luke chapter 24. We'll start at verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and then that were with them, saying, Lord is risen indeed, hath appeared unto Simon. And they told the things that were done the way, and how he was known to them, breaking the bread. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. He said, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed, yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them, and said unto them, These words which I spake unto you, which I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and saith unto them, Thus is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead for the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins be preached his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye therefore are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but ye tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And he let them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, there seems to be a certain shift from go to the Jews only, and now we see scripture that it says go to the nations. We saw in verse 47, remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. When Israel was called and made a nation in Abraham, part of the blessings that he was told was the Jews would be a blessing to the nations. So the Gentile blessings had always been a part of Jewish history, but those blessings weren't apart from Abraham. They were with Abraham. In the Old Testament, we learned in the past that in order to receive salvation or be right with God, they had to become a proselyte, which was adopting the Jewish faith. In the New Testament, in the early stages of Christianity, we see the Gentiles being brought in with faithful Abraham. And we've learned that in Romans, in Hebrews, they're brought in to provoke Israel to jealousy. Go to Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do, both to do and teach, unto the day when he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he had shown himself alive after his passion for many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, saying, That ye should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So when they were all gathered together, they had one question to ask the Lord. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Israel was, this is Acts chapter 1. The Gospels are over. Acts, the Lord's going to be ascended. The Holy Spirit's going to come down. Will you restore at this time the kingdom to Israel? Israel's still a primary focus for these guys because they're Jewish. And the Lord said, it's not for you to know the time and the seasons and the power the Father hath put in his own power. Now, if you look at page 2 of your handout, you'll see the picture where we've drawn this time frame. You'll see the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And you see the resurrection of Acts chapter 1. And the dashed line shows the Lord going up to the heavenlies. But then you see the Acts period, which the first part is to the Jew only. And in Acts chapter 9, you see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus unto the Paul, who was the apostle now to the Gentiles. And he started bringing them in, and it caused some problems. Go to Acts chapter 15. I'm going to start at verse 1. So Paul went to the Jews first, and after he preached that who Christ was, he then went left the synagogue and went to the Gentiles and preached Christ to them. And the Gentiles started believing. Well, the Jews were kind of getting upset about that because they didn't really know how to handle that. So Acts 15, chapter 1, we say, certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You know, this is the premise of Judaism. Abraham was given the rules of circumcision, and that was passed down through Moses. Unless you be circumcised that way, you can't be saved. Well, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go to Jerusalem and the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and that it caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God hath done with them. But there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees with belief, saying that it was indeed needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. You know, they didn't know any other way. Because if we're going to have a conversion here, they're going to have to follow the law, man. And when they heard much, verse 7, when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of God, word of gospel, and believe. And God, which knew the hearts, bear the witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did at us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts with faith, by faith. Now, therefore, tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. You mean you want to put the law on these Gentiles? Heck, we didn't even do it right. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even this day. Then all the multitude kept silent. He gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among them, wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles, take them the people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophet as written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set up, that the residue of men might see of the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we should trouble them not, which from the among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they should, one, abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, things strangled, and from blood. So what they did is they said, look, they're arguing, and they here the Gentiles are being saved, and it's by faith and not by law, and they're struggling with that. And they said, look, don't put the whole yoke of this law on them. Just do four things. Verse 22, please the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company, Antioch and Paul and Barnabas, namely Julius, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. And down to verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary for things. And he told them there are the four components of the law that the Gentiles should keep. So, the transition in the Acts period is shocking to the Jew. But as we look to the lesson today, you know, 12 apostles were called, were Jewish. Their mission was Jewish. The text that was written to them was Jewish. We didn't see Gentiles come in until the Acts period. Even then, Acts chapter 15, if the Gentiles are saved, they had to do four things, part of the law. Until you get to the end of the Acts period, Acts 28, verse 20. Paul was a prisoner in his own house. And the elders came to him. In verse 20 said, for this call I have called for you and to see you and speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Here the Apostle Paul, who was called himself the Apostle to the Gentiles, he magnified his office. But here in Acts chapter 28, he says, I am imploring you, for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. In verse 23, we see he expounded to them, testifying of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Verse 28, he says, be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is now authorized, sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And then he wrote the book of Ephesians. Now, if you read that book, you'll see the first three chapters exploding with amazing truths that are completely separate from what was promised to Israel. Right now, you are called with a calling and a relationship with Christ that is far superior than what the Jews had, what the disciples had. You are now an ambassador for Christ. You should behave as an ambassador because your citizenship is the heavenlies and you're representing that citizenship here on the earth. I tell you, this study can go on and on, but I hope it's pointed out to you today the difference between the disciples, the 12 apostles, and the calling that was given to the Apostle Paul, and the difference between Jew and Gentile. I hope the lesson was a blessing. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We went through a lot of them today, and we pray that we handled the Word of God accurately and the accurate portrayal of the difference between Jew and Gentile, and the fact that the disciples were called strictly from a Jewish perspective. And until you start to bring the Gentiles in, and until the very end of Acts, set Israel on hold, and the Gentiles will now call separately with a very special calling called the mystery, which was hidden before the foundation of the world, and they revealed through the Apostle Paul unto us. We thank you for that. We thank you for that calling. We pray we study the scriptures that we might handle this truth accurately and be able to encourage others to see this truth. And we thank you for everything you've done. For it's Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.